97.5 Roadshow, live from Los Angeles, for Errol Spence Jr. versus Sean Porter. This is The Blitz. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
You still have one more Garrett Cole start, right?
Believe so.
So there's almost zero chance of going on three, right?
Yes. I think you can go ahead and lock them in as best record.
Okay.
At this point, it would shock me if the Astros weren't the number one seed in the American League. I mean... And really, do they have a tiebreaker with the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Then yeah, they're going to have home field throughout, that's where it really matters to me, is if you get to the World Series, because I think they'll still play Yordan in the games in L.A., but you're more comfortable not having him in the field when you don't have to. I'll be honest, my initial instinct is take the points with the Panthers, because it feels like the kind of game where Deshaun's going to come down and they're going to kick a field goal to win it with time running out. Like, I feel like the Texans are going to beat the Panthers, but I feel like it's going to be an unexpectedly close game.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed, at the producer Nick, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show 713-780-3776. You missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. A lot of good stuff out here from Los Angeles, and all available at podcastarena.com. Efforting getting in touch with Brad Powers, so hopefully we'll have him here in a few minutes and we can do our college football talk. Off subject, but am I the only one kind of hyped about El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie? I haven't heard many people talking about it. I've heard a lot of good stuff about it. I'm not really that interested in it because I found Jesse to be the most least interesting character in the show. Well, no, Skyler.
But yeah, she's the worst.
Yeah, she was by far the worst. But then it, to me, is Jesse, and the movie's supposed to be about Jesse. I don't really have any interest, but I hear it's good.
It looks good. Like, yeah, the trailers look good.
It
looks dark, which,
yeah,
I like.
I like dark. So I'll probably watch it, but I won't say.
Vince Gilligan is the one who did it, right?
Yeah. So
it's not going to be crappy.
No, I know. They've done such a great job with Better Call Saul. I'll give it a chance, but I'm not. You know, it's one of those that, okay, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it the second it comes out.
Right.
But yeah, I've been watching that Righteous Gemstones. I think I was telling you about that. And each week, I kind of feel like going in, okay, this is going to be the episode I eject. And then they're always just good enough to keep me watching. Like last week's, I think, might have been the best episode. And it's kind of like, all right, I'm going to eject. No, I don't really want to eject now. All right, let's go to our good friend, lead college football and basketball analyst for pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BradPower7. We like to call him a genius. It's our buddy Brad Powers, pregame.com. What's up, Brad?
How you guys doing?
We're doing all right, man. We're out. We're even further west than you this time. We're out in L.A.
I forgot about that. You guys live the life, man. Just going from town to town, Vegas, L.A., Houston, all the major markets, covering all the sports. Must be nice to be you guys.
Enjoying.
I'm hunkered down here grinding. Yeah, I'm hunkered down here grinding.
Yeah, right. I would imagine. All it's right. Very difficult. Very difficult. You know what? Let's talk about this. The game tonight. There's one college football game tonight. Navy Memphis. Fred and I kind of see the game going differently. Fred likes it as an over game. I kind of like it as an under game. I'm curious your thoughts on maybe the side, if you have a thought on it, at 11.5 or that total. What kind of game do you expect to see tonight between these guys?
Yeah, I'm more on the side than the total tonight, and I'm on the Memphis side here, and I get it. They've struggled with Navy in the past, and that's why it's only a lean for me on Memphis, but here's what I see with Memphis. Number one, this is the best Memphis defense in probably 4 or 5 years, so I think they're better adept to stopping the option than what they've been here recently, and I like, because Navy's running that quirky spread, you know, option offense, I like teams that have extra time to prep. Memphis comes in off a bye. And, oh, yeah, by the way, Memphis is really good off a bye, guys. Last 7 times they've been coming off a regular season bye. They're 7-0 against the spread. Average cover by more than 10 points per game. I'm on Memphis here minus the 11.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on that. Now I think you've sold me on it. So, some games Friday night, too. Is there anyone there that jumps out at you? I mean, obviously you got 4 games and a couple late ones. Any thoughts on those, the Friday night games?
Yeah, so there's four games, and there's probably three major conference games. But where I think the value is the one group of five conference game tomorrow.
Please,
and that's at
please say Air Force. Please say Air Force.
Yeah, I'm on Air Force against San
Jose. Yeah, my man.
Yeah, I'm going to lay it here. San Jose State's off arguably maybe the biggest win in school history. They go to the SEC and outright upset Arkansas as a three-touchdown underdog. Now it's a short travel week for them. They're going to altitude against Air Force. And if you're celebrating, spending extra time, the last team I want to see the following week is a very disciplined team where, hey, maybe in your preparation, you weren't as glued in and locked in this week. Well, what team is going to make you pay more than any other team than an option team like Air Force? I think Air Force is mad that they blew the game late against Boise State a week ago. They hammer San Jose State. Give me the Falcons minus the 18.5.
That is good to hear. Yeah, that's my favorite game of the weekday cards. I wanted Maryland at 7, and by the time I got there, it was down to 6.5, and now I think it's going to end up having to be a pass for me. But you have any thoughts on that Maryland-Penn State game?
Well, I can't say what I got the number at because Mr. R.J. Bell is sitting right across from me, and that would be an automatic $50 fine. I don't feel like paying for
R.J.
dinner
tonight. Did you get a game of the year price?
Yeah, no. I bet it. I'll give kudos. Circa Sports has been releasing these, lines on like Sunday morning at like 10 or 11 a.m. The following week lines. I did get Maryland plus the 7.5. Thank you. Now I have to pay RJ his dinner.
What kind of limits do they have at that time of the week?
Yeah, so if you're down there in person, they allow you to bet 2,000 on sides, 1,000 on totals. But on the app, you're only allowed 1,000 on the
up.
Yeah, they put
on
out
Sunday.
Totals. Can you believe that? On Sunday
God,
at
heaven.
11 a.m. I'm guessing here. I am a betting man here. I'm guessing they won't be offering totals next season because I'm seeing a lot of 6-7 point line moves, and they tend to be more sharp than square.
Oh man, that would be heaven. Well, let's get into the weekend games, at least the games of note. One of the games I'm curious about, and it's obviously it's a massive number, but I'm still curious on how you think Michigan responds to the last week, and they're laying big numbers here, 27.5 against a bad Rutgers team. But what do you think the locker room, what do you think practice has been like this week for Michigan? What do you think Harbaugh is feeling, and do you feel like this is a time that they're going to want to get some separation?
So if it's been in the past, I'd probably be on Michigan here. Good spot. Hey, they can finally, put the hammer down on an opponent like Rutgers, and they can run it up. But, guys, I mean, I said this on our podcast I do with RJ each and every week, the College Football Dream Preview. I don't think the Michigan problems are fixable. I mean, you go back to last year, they're getting run by Ohio State. I get that. Ohio State's got five-star guys. They ran right by their defense. But the fact that Michigan has been able to hang their hat on being physical at the point of attack and you have Wisconsin beat you up, maybe I'm bearing the lead here. I mean, Michigan's last seven games, they are 0-7 against the spread, failing to cover by 18 points per game. I can't lay four touchdowns right now with the current state of Michigan.
Game I kind of like is Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and I know Kansas State's been more impressive than we thought they would be early on. I think Texas is a really good team, and I think coming off that game, I like Oklahoma State minus the points. I don't think Kansas's pass rush is going to be able to get to them. Just kind of curious what you think about that one.
Yeah, number feels short, so I think it's a good spot for Kansas State. They're coming in off a bye. They're catching Oklahoma State off the Texas game. That kind of went down to the wire a little bit there. But, again, it's building the number. I was expecting the line would come out more than what it did, and then it did at that Circa place. I'm not going to mention it again because I don't want to pay for RJ's dinner tomorrow. But looking at the matchup, Kansas State, it feels like there's been some new lifeblood in that program. I'm never going to diss Bill Snyder, a Hall of Famer, one of the best coaching jobs in the history of college football. But the last couple of years of his tenure felt a little stale. And this Kansas State team, especially offensively, has had a little bit more juice. They've covered the spread by a combined 54.5 points in their first three games. I'm not sure I got a real good handle. Maybe Kansas State's a legitimate top 20 caliber team. And if that's the case, I'll be on the Wildcats here, plus the points.
The other game that is of interest locally, a huge line move when the announcement came out that De'Aaron King was going to redshirt. UH had opened at -1.5, now +7.5. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, and before the season, I thought De'Aaron King was one of the five most valuable players in all of college football, worth more than a touchdown. The line clearly says he's worth more than a touchdown and getting close to 10 points. I'm more on the total in this one. I'm going to go over the total. And I'm concerned about Houston's defense, because if there's this sense that there's some give up to this season, I mean, your best player just said, hey, I'm going to redshirt. Maybe I'll come back next season. But if there's going to be some give up, I think we see it more on the defensive side of the ball. And in that instance, I think North Texas is clearly going to get their points. Total looks a little low here at 59. I'm on the over.
The Iowa State-Baylor game, and Iowa State comes back from their disappointing loss and just wrecks shop. Baylor struggles against Rice. So normally in this instance, my instinct is to buy low, sell high. I just don't feel that way in this game. I was higher than most on Matt Campbell and Iowa State coming into this season. I feel like offensively, both these teams are solid offensively. They've both gotten really good quarterback play from Brewer and Purdy. But I feel like only one of these teams is bringing a defense into the game, and that's Iowa State. And 2.5, 3 points feels really short to me. I like the over as well, but what do you think on the side?
I'm leaning towards Baylor at this point, and I get it. You can make a strong case. Who in the heck has Baylor played so far? They've had arguably
an FCS team and two of the bottom 10.
Yeah. So do we have a really good idea of how good Baylor is? Probably not. We will, though, this game. But what I did like is Matt Rhule's response after struggling in the second half against Rice last week. They did lead 21-3. To me, it looked like they kind of pulled their foot off the gas pedal a little bit. He said this after the game: I believe this with all my heart. We needed that game. This is Matt Rhule talking. We needed that type of experience to have some adversity. Because of that, I'll take the home dog here, Baylor plus the points.
Brad Powers is our guest. An interesting game to me is this A&M Arkansas game. It's at a neutral site. Arkansas is getting 23.5 points coming off the loss you were talking about. A&M off a very disappointing loss for them against Auburn. I think they thought that they were going to be able to win games like that this year. Do you have any thoughts on this? I mean, it's hard for me to want to take Arkansas, but I wonder if there's some motivation issues for the Aggies here.
Yeah, and, this line's moved quite a bit, a little, and I get it, because, I mean, how in the heck can you bet Arkansas after that performance against San Jose State last week? Except in those instances, when you got to ask yourself, who in the world's going to want to bet Arkansas? A lot of times that's where you can get some value, because no one wants to bet Arkansas. In this instance, I don't want to lay it with Texas A&M. I mean, I expected big things from Kellen Mond, the quarterback. I saw it week one. He made a couple of great throws against Texas State. I haven't really seen it since, guys. And he looked shaky in a very competitive game early on against Clemson, where, Texas A&M had opportunities to really make that a game, didn't do it. And then, last week just didn't get the job done in a really good spot for them at home. They came up short against Auburn. Yeah, this game's a pass for me. But if anything, if the line continues to climb, and it looks like it wants to, I'd probably talk myself into Arkansas.
So I always like to talk to you about these Notre Dame games. I know you follow that program closely. They've got a game against Virginia this week. The way I see this game is Virginia disappointed to expectation last week. They got a little margin at the end, but they were down. Everyone was worried about them against Old Dominion. And Notre Dame, in a loss, may have gotten their stock up a little bit in the eyes of the betting public. So now you get Virginia and Notre Dame. My feel is with Virginia here, just because Notre Dame just came off what has to be the most physical game they will play all season long. And, it was a close game, so I feel like it was probably emotionally draining. Whereas, and Virginia's another team that plays strong defense. It's going to be another physical game for Notre Dame. The number's going up now towards 12.5. It's pushing Virginia's way. How do you see this game playing out?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head with a key word there, physicality. The physicalness of last week's game against Georgia, even though I got that handicap wrong. I didn't expect Notre Dame to hold up against Georgia's rush offense. I thought they'd get steamrolled, especially in the second half. Didn't happen. In fact, Notre Dame, you know, stood the test at the point of attack. But because that game was so physical, and even Brian Kelly, the head coach for Notre Dame, said it. He thought it was one of the most physical games he's ever coached in. I think that'll have a negative impact for this week's game, especially against a very physical Virginia team that's been wearing their opponents down in the second half. First half of games, Virginia's outscoring their opponents so far this season by 4 points per game. Second half, as they wear down their opponents, Virginia's outscoring their opponents by 13 points per game. Because of that, I like Virginia full game here, plus the 12.5.
Kind of want to look back at a game and just your thoughts on that UCLA-Washington State game. What do we do with those teams going forward? Have you ever seen anything like that?
Well, I haven't been able to tell this on the air yet, and it's my fault. I happened to miss a Straight Out of Vegas show yesterday, but I had Washington State as part of the final leg of a four-team parlay. So check this out.
No.
Money line parlay. Not against the spread, not laying the 18. I just need them. I need them to win the game. So I have Washington. They kill BYU. That's good. Missouri, they crush South Carolina. I had Georgia. They had to pull away in the second half. They do so. And then I have Washington State, the final leg, the final game of the night. They're up 49-17. Some may say at that point that it was a 1,000-to-1 chance that UCLA could come back and win. What's UCLA do? They score 50 points in 20 minutes. They can't score 14 in a game. They get 50 in 20 minutes, and I lose my money line parlay. Tough. It's tough to do.
Well, Brad, we saved the best for last. I want to ask you about the game of the week. I've been excited for this one. Akron at UMass. These are two of the worst teams in the entire history of college football in my mind. I said at the beginning of the year UMass is the new UConn, and I think they are. They are so horrendous. I don't know what kind of number you can put up that I'll be like, oh, UMass can cover that number. So take UMass out of the equation. I need you to talk me off of betting Akron giving 7.5.
Ugh. First, let me say, I've been doing power ranks, been involved in power ranks now about a decade, going back to the Phil Steele days. I have never had a team lower in my power ratings than Massachusetts right now. They started the season number 130. There's 130 teams in college football. They started the season number 130, and I've downgraded Massachusetts 8.5 points since the start of the season. Lowest team I've ever had power rated, but with that in mind, guys, do you really want to lay more than a touchdown on the road with Akron? I certainly don't. I mean, I expected them to give up a little bit of fight last week against Troy at home. They didn't, got crushed. It's a pass for me at the current number, guys. I'm sorry.
Damn. Oh, well, maybe I'll pass too. But, man, it's hard when you keep fading UMass and you keep making money.
Yeah, keep cashing those tickets.
It's really hard to walk away from.
You're right. I have Akron number 129, and I can't – and that shows you how bad UMass is, that the fact that the number 129 team's laying more than a touchdown on the road against the number 130 team.
You know what? I lied to you. I did have one more I wanted to ask you about because the number kind of strikes me as odd. Wake Forest, who's now 4-0 and looks like they're rolling, goes into Boston College, and they're giving up less than a touchdown. And meanwhile, all I can think about is Boston College lost at home to Kansas, like got thumped by Kansas. What am I missing on this number? How much did you downgrade Boston College when they lost? How much did you downgrade Boston College when they lost to Kansas? Or are you just counting that as like that? Maybe that's just a bad data point.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously downgraded Boston College 3-4 points. One of my biggest downgrades for an individual game of this entire season. I mean, they failed to meet expectations being the Vegas spread by 6 touchdowns. But to me, I think the number looks too high. I think the market's downgraded Boston College too much for that Kansas performance. I'm going to use your words. I think that's just a one bad data point that people are overreacting to. And when I saw the line, I said, hey, Wake Forest laying a touchdown on the road in ACC play. When has that happened? When's the last time that's happened? 2007. I'll take the market. I'll take the team that the market's thrown in the trash. Give me Boston College. And it sounds like dinner bet here. You got Wake Forest?
I'm not on the other side. I just thought that it was an interesting line. I just assumed that Boston College would be downgraded so much that for it to open at 4, I thought was very generous, and it got quickly bet up to 6.5. So, no, I'm not looking to bet on Wake Forest here. I was kind of asking why the number was where it is, but that's a good explanation, I suppose.
Yeah, and keep in mind, there wasn't a game of the year line on this one in
what?
The summer, but I'm guessing Boston College, by any stretch of the imagination, was either going to be, you know, a small favorite right around a field goal. So we've seen a pretty big adjustment already.
Let me ask you about one more. I know he lied, but I was curious about Ohio State because there's been some movement.
It's funny
in that.
With you they... guys. One more. I got R.J. Bell sitting here. He's trying to do something. He's like, look, giving me the look.
All right, sorry,
well,
R.J.
Yeah, well, last one. Oh, Ohio State, Nebraska. Ohio State has just been destroying people. Nebraska, I don't know if they're where people thought they were going to be or
– No, they're not.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they were – I think people were being a little overly optimistic. Is that – I'm kind of leaning Ohio State here the way they've been playing. Is that number about right or is that too much?
So – I posted this on Twitter today because a lot of guys in our industry, you know, the post that I got the better of the number. You always hear that. You even heard me say that a couple times in this segment alone. I posted a ticket that I bet Nebraska in the summer, Nebraska plus 10. So that one I took in this matchup, I obviously took way bad of the number there. And what's been the
so you love it at 17, right?
I do like Nebraska 17, and let's talk 17. That's the second largest home underdog role in Nebraska history. I know you're going to say, what's the first? It was the last time Ohio State went to Lincoln 2 years ago. Ohio State
did they cover that?
24.5. Yeah, the Buckeyes laying 24.5. Final score, Ohio State 56, Nebraska 14. So thanks for asking that. In this instance, I don't know if we have a good grasp on how good Ohio State is. I got them up to number 3 in my power ratings. I've upgraded Ohio State about a touchdown since the start of the season. But I think after covering 3 games by a combined 72 points, this one looks a little inflated to me. I think with game day there for the first time in several years for Nebraska, they rally a little bit here. I'll take the Huskers plus the 17. Is that the dinner bet, Fred? I already owe you one. Am I going to owe you two?
No. I'm not. That was one I was iffy about, and now you've taken me off it, so that's okay.
I think it's a chance for both of these teams to prove, you know, what they are, and if Nebraska's defense is really any good, and if Ohio State's defense is any good, because I don't know if they are, because they haven't been pushed. But Nebraska, they're going to. We'll see. I mean, they've looked okay. They've looked better, I guess. But, Ohio State's just been a trouncing machine, right? Them in Oklahoma, I don't really want to get in the way of those teams right now.
No. At this point, I mean, both teams massively upgraded since the start of the season.
Honestly, I was just asking about Ohio State to curry favor with RJ. So
he's trying to get back in RJ's good graces.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah.
All right. Brad Powers, pregame.com. Does a fantastic job, joins us every Thursday. Great stuff, Brad, and we'll talk to you again maybe tomorrow, but certainly next week.
All right. Hey, sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right. I have to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. And, guys, if you want to revitalize your living area with custom style and quality, these are the guys to go to. And whether it's something new or whether it's renovating, they got you covered. And if they're going to renovate your old fading pool deck or your grayed-out patio, and your outdated driveway, they'll give it a carved stone overlay. And the carved stone gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less. It's durable, 2 times stronger than concrete. And Allied Outdoor Solutions believes in it so much, they give you a 7-year warranty. It can work with both residential and commercial projects. And how about this? All kinds of options for you with monthly payments. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. And they're also an accredited member of the Better Business Bureau since 2009 with an A-plus rating. So save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over and get that carved stone overlay. Stop by the Allied Outdoor Solutions showroom on I-10 in the Beltway today or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com or call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Los Angeles, for Errol Spence Jr. versus Sean Porter. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And apparently, Aaron's a made guy now since he's bitching at us.
I know.
So, I think he's come
kidding the business from Aaron.
Yeah, I kind of think. I feel really good about this. It's a good step forward for him. All right. Do we have Raphael? Oh, okay. Well.
Well, while we wait on Raphael, I'll tell you about TGS Insurance Company. If you haven't heard about these guys, well, yeah, you've heard about them. I've been telling you about them for a while. Now's a great time. Think about what just happened. Got some severe weather in the area. A lot of people flooded. A lot of people almost flooded. That could be you. And do you know what your homeowner's insurance is going to cover? Do you have flood insurance? Well, now's the great time to check it out. Text the word money to 232323. The system will ask for your address. You send it back. They'll give you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And the average customer has saved $870 on home insurance this year, which is more than enough to cover flood insurance. So you could still save money after adding flood insurance. And you don't need to wait for your renewal because TGS takes care of the whole thing, the back end, all the hubbub, so you can just sit back and save money. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving now.
All right. And remind you, we're out here in Los Angeles. Coming up at 7 o'clock will be Late Hits with Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, and Abdul Foster. And at 9 o'clock, the Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad Gilmore out here live from Los Angeles.
You're looking live, folks.
Should be fantastic. And speaking of fantastic, let's go to our buddy Rafael Esparza, my bookie. He's the former Las Vegas sportsbook director and gambling analyst at DocSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at VSI DocSports. Rafael, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. So let's start with the games tonight. Well, I think it's probably too late for the college game, but we still have a few minutes here. Eagles Packers. Any thoughts on that one? That number I see down to 3.5. Packers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Most of the week.
I'm a little bit shocked that the Eagle money is coming in. Where we've been taking a lot of Eagle money for the past maybe hour and a half. I mean, it's just rare to talk about the Green Bay Packers and you talk about their defense first before you even mention Aaron Rodgers. But that defense has been lights out. I like Green Bay in this game. I liked it when it was 4. Now I even really like it when it's 3.5. I just think they're the better team overall. That Eagles secondary has not been good. I think Aaron Rodgers and that Packers offense wakes up today.
What about Navy Memphis? Any thoughts on that one?
Too many points. Navy shipment plus 11. You can get that right now. I just think it's going to be a lot closer games. Last year, they only won by 1 point. Memphis, the home team, has won by 2 points or less the last two meetings. Now you're telling me the number is 11? Give me Navy.
Looking ahead to Sunday, some of the NFL games, obviously a team of interest here. Well, in Houston is the Texans, 4-point favorites at the Panthers, who I think looked a lot better without broken down Cam Newton in there. What are your thoughts on that one?
I know, I like chaos. I want the Panthers to win every game, and I want the Saints to win every game, so we have chaos. Do they bring Drew Brees back? Do they bring Cam Newton back? Is there going to be quarterback controversy? That's what I like. But in this game right here, Texans, their defense is playing really good. Offensive line played outstanding last week. I think not that many people are talking about that. I think that needs to be mentioned, how well that offensive line played last week. And stealing a game in L.A., that's not a tough test. I mean, winning that game, I think it's going to be a huge momentum. I like Houston laying a small number, -4.
Well, if you like quarterback chaos, you probably like you want the Jaguars to win against the Broncos at +3, right?
Yes. Minshew, he's a Baker Mayfield of 2019 football. So I'm a big Minshew. I'm actually growing a mustache right now.
Yeah, you got to wear a scarf, too. Game of interest to a lot of people in our area. Cowboys, now I'm looking at that numbers come down against the Saints. I know it's in New Orleans, but no Drew Brees, and the Cowboys have just looked unstoppable so far. I know they haven't beaten anybody. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, I don't understand this game. I thought it should be a solid 3 Dallas. Yes, I know the Saints won last week in Seattle, but 13 of those points were a fumble return and a punt return. So it's not like that offense was clicking. Now they're still missing some wide receivers in New Orleans, and that defense is still banged up. I know Dallas hasn't really played anybody. But I'm taking a better team on both sides of the ball. I like Dallas in this show. I think they steal this game. I mean, let's face it, the Saints should have lost game 1 against Houston.
One more I wanted to ask you about. Do you have any thoughts on the Browns-Ravens? It seems like you're getting a pretty good price on the Browns considering how they look Sunday night, but I think the Rams are a terrific team. And 7 points feels like a lot. I mean, I was one of those guys who didn't buy into the Browns hype, but I'm thinking 7 points here, and that game opened at 3.5. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I like the Browns. I think maybe they just need to play all their games on the road. I think they press too much at home. I think they want to impress all the media stuff that gave them all the praise all summer long. I think Cleveland can cover this +7. And I'm not sold on Baltimore. I mean, if you throw out that two junky touchdowns Baltimore got last week, they were down by 20 points in the fourth quarter. I'm not 100% sold that this Baltimore Ravens team is the best team we've seen in that division. I think the Browns do cover, but I think the Baltimore squeaks out a 3-point victory.
All right, that's Rafael Esparza, and joins us every week. Rafael, appreciate the time and insight as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Take it easy. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That's a lot of gambling we've just worked in.
So. Yep.
All right, so if we didn't get to a game that you like, well, then
we can't help you.
Yeah, yeah. That's the best we can do. So then tomorrow we'll do all the NFL. Well, not all the NFL. Well, we do all the NFL, and then we have RJ on, and he picks out a few games, and usually just basically tells me how wrong I am.
Yeah, makes fun of Fred a little bit.
Yeah, I've been 2-0 in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In the NFL. So I'm not, you know. I'm not
but RJ's been 3-0.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the
RJ, and I,
my only miss still stings. That was the friggin' Lions blowing that game. And then you mentioned the Chiefs. And they blow that 20-point lead into a push when I had the Chiefs. I'm like, are you kidding me? Kidding me? So, yeah. Now I know how Brad felt when I brought up the Washington State game.
Exactly.
I guess I should have checked his Twitter before we had him on. Because I always hate bringing up stuff like that. But I was more curious. Because, I mean, I didn't see – there's no way you saw that coming out of UCLA, right?
No. No, no, no.
And you just look at the stats like, oh, this kid just threw 9 touchdown passes, and they lost. Man, have you been following any of this, the Georgia Tech stuff? Apparently they're going after Kansas and Arizona now, college basketball.
No, well, I knew the Kansas stuff. I haven't seen much about the Georgia Tech thing. But yeah, Josh Pastner being there, that shouldn't come as a surprise.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to appeal. I mean, I think that's definitely going to happen. But – man, it seems like they're going after the big dogs now, and I don't know. I don't know that some of this stuff.
You know what? I wonder if it's sort of a pushback from the NCAA, who, you know, there's a lot of people pushing at the NCAA about paying players and things like that, and suddenly they're being bullied around a little bit, like the rules out here in California now.
And New York's going to put it on the docket.
Yeah, maybe.
And there's not that many in New York, though.
But maybe they're like, you know what? You guys want to play games? We'll play games.
I wouldn't put it past them.
I wouldn't either.
They're fairly petty creatures at the NCAA. So, I'd be interesting to see how it plays out. We were talking about the Browns a little earlier. See, Baker Mayfield responded to Rex Ryan saying he was overrated.
Yeah.
So overrated as hell, not just overrated.
Yeah.
Baker says, in the wise words of Freddie Kitchens, if you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter. And Rex Ryan doesn't have any colors right now for a reason.
That's true.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Rex Ryan, one of the most overrated coaches. So, maybe these guys should be friends.
I think overrated can recognize overrated.
Game recognize game.
Yeah. So, 713-780-ESPN to text the show. Yeah, this is one of the things that concerns me about the Browns moving forward is that whole us versus them mentality thing. Because when them starts winning, things start to fall apart.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter. Okay. That's us against them.
Yeah.
Nobody else on the planet matters, except for the people wearing orange and brown. Well, let's see what happens if you lose a couple more games.
Right.
And
you see if Freddie Kitchens is wearing orange and brown.
Yeah, yeah. Freddie Kitchens may not be wearing any colors either. Might not be a good guy to quote right now. All right, we have one segment left. I do want to remind you, I need to do a giveaway here first. So at 6:45, we'll take the third caller. The Ziegenbott Music Festival is returning to Sam Houston Race Park on October 18th and 19th for the 17th consecutive year. The two-day event features music from Texas country legends like Aaron Watson, Josh Abbott Band, Casey Donahue, Roger Krieger, and many more. We'll do caller 5 at 6:45 to 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets for Friday night of the festival. Tickets are on sale now at shrp.com. Also, this Saturday night, it's champion versus champion when Errol the Truth Spence takes on Showtime Sean Porter in a world championship unification bout at Staples Center. Plus, catch super middleweight champ Anthony Durrell as he defends his title against former champion David Benavidez. Spence Jr. versus Porter this Saturday night at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. Order now live on pay-per-view, also available on the Fox Sports app. And if you want to get in on the action with it, you know where to go, mybookie.ag. And, guys, you can bet the fight. You can bet NFL, colleges, all the stuff we've been talking about for the last hour. You can bet all of it at mybookie.ag. And they've got a great promo sign-up for you. If you haven't tried the site yet, sign up today. They're going to double your first deposit. That's up to $1,000 in free money to wager. I mean, how about that? $1,000 in free money. Just for getting in on mybookie.ag. You have to use promo code radio right now to get your exclusive double your money offer. That's mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And for those of you who already signed up, they've got a pretty good bonus going on right now. Basically, you deposit $200, you'll get $100 for sports and $100 for casinos. So that one you got to go to the website for. But if you want to get in on your first deposit, doubling it, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. That's my bookie.
The way I'm all on you, girl, you know it's true.
The way versus Sean Porter. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, and just one last segment to go. So I'm going to go with a successful first day here.
We've had worse first days.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So,
and we'll be back here tomorrow.
Back here tomorrow, and maybe we'll get some guests, but everybody kind of filed out as we were getting here today. So if not, we'll make sure that we hit the fight a little bit from a betting perspective tomorrow.
Certainly.
So right now, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
Yeah, a British website, The Independent, did a ranking of the top 40 soundtracks of all time.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite?
Flash Gordon.
Okay.
No, actually, my favorite's probably Highlander because it was a bunch of Queen songs.
Okay.
I don't really have a favorite soundtrack.
Well, I want to go through the top 40, but I will run through the top 10. Number 10 is Do the Right Thing from 1989, which was Public Enemy and jazz, basically.
That's half good. I like Public Enemy.
Eden, which I don't know about, but I guess it's a movie about like club music. So it's got a bunch of Daft Punk and stuff like that. The Graduate, number 8, which that, you know.
Mrs. Robinson
and The Sounds of Silence.
Oh, that's two pretty good ones, yeah.
Yeah. Number 7, Superfly. Number 6, you'll see a lot of these from the 70s. Number 6, Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, which is a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. That one's terrific.
Number 5, Trainspotting, which has a bunch of, like, Lou Reed and Iggy Pop and stuff like that.
Right.
Good soundtrack. 4, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, I can't dispute that.
Which is interesting. I mean, he always does a good job matching the music to the show. Number 3, Almost Famous, which it's hard not to have a great... I mean, you've got a bunch of Who and Elton John. And I mean, they did a good job with that. Number 2, Purple Rain by Prince.
Yeah, that kind of feels weird, though.
It's his own movie?
Yeah. It's like, okay. All right, yeah.
And number 1, Kill Bill Volume 1.
Really?
Yeah, it says, the Wu-Tang Clan's RZA worked with director Quentin Tarantino on the collection of music that would accompany Uma Thurman's character, The Bride, on her bloody quest for revenge. What is particularly brilliant is the alternation between non-diegetic sound and the silence that precedes and lasts during some of the most tense action sequences. So some very good music in that show, and I guess they're saying that it was timed well.
It always is with him, and I would say like the most memorable songs in movies. I'd say Reservoir Dogs when he's cutting the ear off.
Oh yeah,
that one, and I would say Goodfellas when they're finding the bodies and they're playing Layla.
Goodfellas was in the top 40, okay. Just not in the top 10.
Yeah.
Marvel Studios looks like they may be going away from the Ghost Rider spinoff. Looks like it is going to be cut, which if it's anything like the Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider movies,
yeah,
probably the best move. Those were really bad superhero movies.
Yeah, those are my, if I'm drunk and I want to laugh at something that's unintentionally funny, those movies are doing for me.
Ronan Farrow came out and talked about Matt Lauer. And apparently, he talks a lot. Matt Lauer is not happy about this, but there's a number of women with new claims who spoke with Ronan Farrow about Matt Lauer. So more accusations coming out. Matt Lauer's like, oh my God, finally they're done. And then it's like, oh no, there's all these new women are coming out. And he thinks the worst is behind him. Everybody's forgetting about that Me Too thing. No, sorry, Matt Lauer. More chicks coming out saying that Matt Lauer strongly suggested oral sex to many of these ladies. Didn't force, but just strongly suggested it.
Well, how else are you going to ask?
I mean, I guess, yeah, that's probably the move.
Just kidding. Don't start texting me.
And I don't know what's going on with this. Madam Web, which is like an old lady Spider-Man type character. Cassandra Webb, depicted as an elderly blind woman suffering from a chronic neuromuscular disease that makes it difficult to move and breathe, but somehow turns into a Spider-Man type character. They're going to make a movie about that? Who wants to see a movie about an elderly lady superhero?
No one.
I didn't even like Logan, where Logan was like old and his powers are diminished. I'm like, God, I don't want to see these, like, my powers just not what they used to. If I watch a superhero movie, I want to see you use superpowers, all right? I don't want to see old people. I don't want to see people with no superpowers. I only want to see superpowers.
Yeah, don't take the powers away.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's Hoffman on Hollywood, Fred.
I don't want to see old superheroes, and I don't want to see kids in movies. That's my other one. All right, well.
Well, indeed.
Very good first effort here from Los Angeles. Really good job by Aaron back in studio. Nick did a really solid job. AJ did a great job. It was okay.
All right.
We'll try it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sportsy, bitches.